gentlemen, welcome to Pop Culture Problems, where we discuss things and stuff and junk. John, how you doing?
I'm doing great. You know, I think tonight's episode, one of the great villains of this show is trying to come up with a way to open the show.
Oh,
and we were not able to come up with a creative way to do it.
I'm sitting here thinking, we're going to have to end the show because we can't come up with a funny, pithy intro. And if anything that people respect, it's our very classic openings that are just riveting.
Riveting.
But I mean, it is a villain of the show. And the topic of today's show is villains, except not as how you would expect. Because villains, I think, get a bad rap, you know, by definition of being a villain and all. But what if they're not all so bad?
What if they're just misunderstood?
They're just misunderstood.
What if the heroes of all of our stories are actually the villains?
Absolutely. I think that's a pretty good thing.
And I think we need to take a moment to consider that. And, you know, was Captain Hook just trying to live a pirate's life? Peter Pan came along and ruined it.
I think here's a way that we can do this. One, I think that we need to make a determination. They're one of three things. The villain is actually not the villain, and the hero, heroine, is actually the villain. Meaning, like, the roles are reversed, we've just been giving a different angle. Two, the villain is not a terrible person. They've made a bad choice in response to something that has happened, and they could have made a positive choice, but they made a very negative choice. But they're not a terrible person. And then people that are just bad people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, just bad people. So like,
and you're and when you're talking about people that are just bad people, you're talking about people like Snow White and Peter Pan and correct? Sleeping Beauty.
Well, no, and see, I just, maybe for me, let's see if you can take it a step further. So that's the spectrum, okay?
Yep.
So now let's say
basically three options.
Let's say that Hook is the worst human on the planet. Okay, I'm gonna try to take him to the middle ground, and then you see if you agree or you think you can take it a step further.
Yeah.
So with Captain Hook, I think that he does just want to live a pirate's life. He's just an average guy, and this Peter Pan comes along, and even though everyone in Neverland stays young and they're immortal, Captain Hook is already old. Like, he got there too late. And I think that that's something that crushes his soul and kind of nags at him, is that Peter Pan lives this life and is, in a way, a little arrogant, pompous, and kind of flaunts the fact that he's so young. And Hook, you know, didn't come to that magic early enough in life to enjoy it. He's got to live with his arthritis and his scurvy and all of his one hand, all of his life, his fear of crocodiles. He has the rest of his life immortally to live with those tragedies, and he makes the bad choice to become villainous in response to being egged on by Peter.
Is he actually villainous though? Because here's my thing. Yeah. I'm going to try to take it to the next level
here.
Yeah,
try it.
Because Hook's on a boat or in his pirate town or whatever with all the adults. Do you want the island? Do you want Neverland to be ran by children or adults?
Yeah, that's true.
Because we know the Lost Boys and Peter Pan, they're not really like living life. They're not like really being grown-ups. Who should be in charge?
Yeah. I'm going to ask a question of you because I don't remember. In Peter Pan, what did Hook do that was bad? Do you remember?
He was a pirate.
a pirate of what? He's one ship. There's nothing for him to pirate. Like, is there anything for him to steal?
Valid
candy
point.
From a baby? I don't know. What?
Valid point.
I thought you said something else. I mean, he's not kidnapping Lost Boys or something, putting him in his dungeon. Like, I mean, it's not like there's something very nefarious. That story could go way wrong.
Absolutely, yeah.
But I don't know that he did anything wrong.
Was he keeping mermaids in the holds of his ship? Not according to the story I read.
No. I don't know if we can say confirmed, but I'm saying Hook, not a
check
villain.
Check him off, yeah.
Yeah, check him off, not
misunderstood.
A yeah, misunderstood, meaning that, okay, but no.
No, you know what, though? Ooh. I would probably say the guy's a borderline hero.
Okay, but that's the thing. So he's in the middle category now, and the further category was that actually the heroes were the villains. So is Peter Pan a villain?
I think Peter Pan is kind of like an anarchist.
Yeah, okay. He's like
he's
just
he's fighting the power. He's
hellion,
yeah.
Burn it down, keeping the man at bay.
He's kind of keeping Hook honest.
That, okay. Yeah, that's true.
I think depending on how you look at that, I mean, he may or may not be a villain.
Okay, so
it depends on your idea of what you know what a how sound and how important a strong governmental structure how important order is to a society.
Yeah. Okay. So we're gonna make a 5 scale. 5 is they are 100% the villain. You know, 3 is that they're in the middle there where they've just been a little misunderstood, and then 1 is that the hero is actually the villain. I'm going to put him at a 2 because we can't quite say Peter Pan is the terrible person.
Yeah, I was going to say like a 2.5 or 2.
Okay.
Yeah,
2.5. Good. All right. Tell me, do you have a
favorite?
I feel
good about this. I like this so far.
Do you have a favorite villain?
Favorite villain of all time? You're probably not super familiar with him, but I love the Marvel Universe's Doctor Doom.
Okay.
And I think Doctor Doom like firmly falls in this category to where he like in the mind of his people, because he's actually a monarch of his own country, he is a hero. Like, he's doing what's best. I think those are the villains that I really, really love. The ones that are, you know, they do evil stuff, but they're so convinced that their evil deeds are good. Magneto from the X-Men villain Magneto is another great example of that. Where, like, he thinks that mutants shouldn't live in peace with humans, that they should be the master race, which is really ironic in a lot of ways because he's a survivor of a Nazi concentration camp.
Well, and that's where we get into this kind of moral dilemma and kind of skirting borderline offensive when you say that, not you, I'm saying when people say that, well, you know, they had good intentions. Well, some of the worst things in history have been done with
good intentions. Yeah, absolutely.
Good intentions for that person. The person thought it was a good idea, and just because the rest of society didn't, they believed full-heartedly, and they did a good job at doing what they felt was good, but it was actually bad. So they did a good job at doing something what I felt was bad, but a good job at doing what they thought was good. So, I mean, I think that's a tough
They did
line
a good
skirt.
Job of doing a bad thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's just as tough to skirt that line.
Yeah, no. I think you're absolutely right, and I think pop culture is filled with these characters that you can, you know, a perfect example of this, I think, in the last 10, 15 years is the Broadway show Wicked.
Oh yeah.
And how they really kind of tell a different spin on the Wicked Witch of the West and how that whole story kind of turned out and kind of actually turns her into the hero.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it gives you the backstory to show how they came to do bad deeds. And Wicked is an example. They were totally misunderstood. In fact, this is a category where the Wicked Witch of the West, as according to Wicked, she's sitting at a 1.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, she's
actually
the Wizard of Oz is the villain. In Wicked, like, he is the villain, like, he is the person doing bad things. He's torturing animals, and he's like, it's totally off base. Now, I like the Wizard of Oz, and there is a theory out there, and I've seen multiple different videos and articles on it, that Glinda in the 1939 Wizard of Oz is the villain, and that the Wicked Witch is not the villain. And they describe this as Glinda is basically trying to rule Oz. And so she brings Dorothy to Oz to basically take her dirty work.
Yeah, take out her competition.
Yeah, yeah. So she took out the Wicked Witch of the East. she takes out the Wicked Witch of the West, and the wizard just leaves, has left. Uh-huh. And Glinda can't just go out and kill or take out of power all these people, because the public, the Munchkins, etc., Emerald City folk, wouldn't respect her. And so she has to have somebody else do it. And at the very end, she shows up, oh, goodness, you've taken out all these people. I guess who's in charge now?
I guess, you know? I am.
And there was a movie mistake in that film where you see Jack Haley as the Tin Man unraveling the rope that secures the basket now.
Yes.
And they say that he was working with Glinda and just got rid of him. Yeah, so that Dorothy didn't go back with him and he wouldn't be able to return. So it was kind of interesting. So I think
It'd be really funny. It'd be like if you could go back and like talk to the director and the writer of the movie and like they would actually like confirm that.
Like yes, that's true.
Yes, that's absolutely true.
That's the truth. Yeah, so that's kind of an interesting one.
I think that one we talked a little bit longer than we probably needed to, because I think we could have kind of declared Glinda as
I think that extra description gives people an example. I think here's some quick short ones that I think they do good work of describing the people. Like, these people are at... See, I don't know where to put this. I'm going to describe the person. You got John Doe in Seven. You got Dexter Morgan from the movie Dexter. You got Hannibal Lecter from Silence of the Lambs of Hannibal. These people did bad things, like murdered people.
Yes.
Okay? But they had upbringings or things happen in their lives that were tragic, or they were doing something for what they thought was a good reason. John Doe in Seven said, these people are sinning, and I'm going to teach them the error of their ways. Dexter Morgan said, these people have done things wrong. I'm going to prevent them from doing things again. And Hannibal Lecter, if you look at like some of the prequely stuff, I mean, he was held captive and fed his own sister during a time of poverty. Is that like, whoa, that's got to mess with your head.
That's dark, yeah.
And then he did some bad stuff. So those three people, as an example, is it ever okay to kill someone? Like, were they driven to that? Can you see them as ever being past the category of they had a bad rap, but are they always going to be a four? Because they did kill somebody? Or could they move to three?
No, I mean, I think just because you kill somebody doesn't necessarily make you a villain. It depends on your motive. I mean, if it's just for the pleasure of killing or because...
So it's okay to kill someone if they're a bad person?
Sure.
Am I a bad person?
Well, no, but what I'm saying is like, in the context of these stories...
Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening to Pop Culture Problems. 911.
I would always err on the side of I'm more of like the if you're a hero along the lines of like the Batman, Superman, Spider-Man moral stand of not killing. But if it's the difference between like thousands of people dying and you know, that villain not making it through the movie, it might be more like a moral good to not have that person around anymore. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I'm thinking for the purposes of our arguments that we should just make this, because that's getting into some very deep moral stuff. Hannibal Lecter, John Doe, and what was the other one I just said?
Like, if you're preventing
Dexter Morgan.
If you're preventing someone from killing someone else, I think that's a... neutral.
But you don't, like, Dexter Morgan didn't know that that person was going to kill again.
Yeah, that's a good
point.
What
I mean? So he's basically minority reporting kind of thing, where you're punishing someone for a crime they might commit. Yeah, you know, that kind of gets into a moral gray because people change or could change. For the purposes of our argument, those three individuals, and I'll even include like Jigsaw from the Saw movies. Like, again, he was dealt a bad hand, and there's just a lot of bad stuff happened to him. Should he kill people as a way to give a wake-up call to them? I don't know. Is that good or bad? The one difference between those and the other people we've talked about, there was no clear hero. And I think we should remove people that don't have a clear hero.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
because
yeah.
I think that...
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about individuals where...
That's fair.
I think in the situations we're one you mentioned, I think before we went on the air was Jafar from Aladdin.
Yeah.
There's a clear hero in Aladdin. Yeah, there's Aladdin.
Yeah.
There, the Sultan is the king. He's supposedly the good ruler. The genie is granting good wishes, but Jafar is giving a bad rap. Is Jafar a villain?
Well, is the Sultan a good ruler? I think the question.
I don't think he is.
He kind of seems a little buffoonish.
He is a buffoonish.
And Jafar is really the one that's calling the shots and running the show. And if that is in fact the case, why isn't he just in charge? Because that's really what Jafar is like after in that movie, in the story of Aladdin, is being in charge. If he was just in charge, you wouldn't probably have the drama with the lamp and the genie and things like that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, absolutely.
And so, really, Jafar is like kind of, he's trapped in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
To where, like, I'm the one that's actually running the show. I'm not getting any of the credit. This buffoon is making me look like a fool. I've taught this parrot how to talk in complete sentences, and I'm not getting any credit for these miraculous things I've been able to do.
I've taught the parrot to speak. Ah, ha, ha. Hey, but he, if anything that he is a villain of, is giving him the voice of Gilbert Godfrey. Yeah,
that's true, yes.
I mean, he could have, I mean, I think he, Iago was great. Gilbert Godfrey has a very interesting voice, but if you had to choose a voice, would you choose Gilbert Godfrey?
That's true. That's true.
And so, bless his heart.
But I really think that Jafar, I mean, if you look at him in that light, he's kind of a sympathetic character.
Yeah. And when you look at Aladdin, just looking at the hero, he's kind of needy, and he's kind of greedy, and he's kind of selfish.
Well, what are his first... What's his first inclination to wish for? I mean, Jafar wanted power so he could control the kingdom and stuff, but how do we know it wasn't so that he could do what's best for the kingdom?
And, I mean, just Aladdin wanted to be royalty, and he wanted money and all that stuff. Jafar, I think you could argue, and I'm not certain, Agrabah. When you look at Agrabah, there's really only one rich person on the street. Or the really only one rich person, the Sultan and his
absolutely.
Kingdom. Maybe Jafar was going to the Cave of Wonders to get the gold and the riches so that he could Robin Hood it to all the people of Agrabah who were starving in the streets. I mean, you could go.
I think
you don't know what his motivations
were. We've made a strong case for Jafar to be at least like a two, I think.
I think Jafar is a two. But here's the thing. Did Jafar kill anybody? Other than
himself?
What did Jafar do? Like, what did he do that was bad?
Turned himself into an old man?
Or into a snake, yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe got into a little... Maybe he shouldn't have dressed Jasmine up and tried to force to marry her.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, but he was also doing that for the goal to become Sultan so that then he could, kind of rule the land and make it a better place. So in order to do that, he had to marry... There's been a lot of false marriages over the years. There's been a lot of, bartering and dowries and just, arranged marriages.
Yeah, arranged marriages is a thing.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah, another villain. What do we got? Who's another villain?
A movie that my wife and I recently watched that I actually thought was pretty good and put an interesting spin on it was Maleficent. Angelina Jolie, where it gives kind of her backstory, and you watch that movie and you're like, she was the hero.
Yeah. I mean, I don't remember a ton about that movie. I only saw it once, and I know that they're coming out with a sequel now, and I don't remember much about it, but I do remember it. Yeah. It totally flipped it on its head, make her better.
It kind of turned her into a sympathetic, tragic character. And, like, not a bad person at all.
Yeah, I guess.
So, I think it's you have to be kind of a little bit careful. And you did a good job of doing this with Wizard of Oz, because you can look at the original source material and say that Glinda was the villain and the Scarecrow was, or Tin Man was letting the rope go. But you have to be kind of careful in, like, the revisionist stuff. Because I know I talked about Wicked, but... Maleficent, they released this movie like years and years after Sleeping Beauty came out.
Right,
I think there is kind of like this push to look at things in like a new light, like we're doing on this episode.
Uh-huh.
And show those villains in a different light and like maybe a more sympathetic light. But I did like the movie Maleficent, but I'd probably, if you look at it just from the Sleeping Beauty context, she's a bad guy.
A little girl. Yeah. And she was a baby killer, or she was trying to be a baby killer.
Yes.
And that's not good.
No.
And she had a very stalker mentality about it as well. And I think there's a lot of characters that are villains. I think more as you get into the horror movies, I know that like Jigsaw, like we mentioned, I don't consider the Saw movies horror movies. I consider them kind of suspense thrillers. But once you get into horror movie territory, it's a little harder. Yeah, you got a Jason Voorhees who was, you know, deformed and mocked and made fun of and then was killed. I mean, geez, he may have a grudge. But then you got like the Freddy Kruegers who are like child murderers. That it's like hard to say, oh, yeah, well, I guess, you know. He didn't get to murder as many people as he wanted before they burned him alive. You know, like, I don't know about that. Freddy Krueger's an interesting character because Freddy Krueger was my favorite horror movie. I thought Nightmare Freddy was cool. Nightmare on
Elm Street,
Nightmare on Elm Street. I'm so sorry that I used
it. I know, I was trying to put it in context for the listeners.
Hearts. Kisses. Oh, yeah. Love. Nightmare on Elm Street. I love Freddy Krueger. I thought he was cool because they put him in these scenarios just where he was in a video game.
Oh, yeah.
He was he was hilarious. But really, he's like the worst. Like, he's a child murderer, possibly molester. Who knows?
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there like, go, Freddy, get him. Yeah. You know, like,
and that's, you know, there's a difference between creating a villain that you can cheer for and creating like a villain that is the hero. Freddy is definitely in that camp where he's terrible, but he's a villain that you can cheer for because he's just an awesome character.
And he's really killing good people. He's not even killing bad. Like, he's like the worst. And I'm like, yeah, get him. what does that say about us and me and you?
I think it says a lot about you. Me. I don't know what it says about me.
But. I think it's about the company you keep, John. What are you doing hanging around me? That's true. That's terrible. Another bad villain that just doesn't right in the category, Chucky. I can't remember the guy's name. The dude who did the satanic ceremony on the doll to get inside of him. But likely played by Clint Howard.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not good. Dracula is kind of a tragic love story.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, that's a good one. Leatherface.
He's more of a product of his environment, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
You could maybe make a case that he's more of a, not necessarily a villain, but a victim.
Yeah.
Of his upbringing and his circumstances.
This is a weird one as far as villains go, but I think that the cartoon did not do it as much justice as the live action movie. How the Grinch Stole Christmas. The Grinch, I know, is not
considered
the most villainous of... I mean, he's not doing bad things, but...
But the live action really did make him a sympathetic character.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And that is something that they are, you know, doing more and more of, is that they tell these stories of these villains when they were young and they were always bullied. And, like, are these people that are writing this saying that, like, basically... If you're bullied, you're going to turn into a bad person?
Well, I mean, I think when you're looking at the types of things that happen in our society, I think they go back to how were they raised?
Yeah.
How were they brought up? Were they bullied, etc.? And they kind of have that mentality. I think in some of those old cartoons, like when you watch The Grinch, the cartoon, why is that a good show for somebody to watch? Like, a little kid watching it, like, at first the guy's just a grumpy guy.
Yep.
And you know what? People should leave him alone. Just leave the Grinch alone. He's grumpy. You're on his private property. Just leave him alone. But then he, you know, breaking and entering, theft. You know, like, he has all these like things that he's doing that are bad.
Yeah.
Now, in the new movie, they kind of do that as well, but all of the other stuff, except from the original source material, is not bad stuff.
Let's go back to the original story, though. Like, the Grinch. He does all of this stuff, and then people just forgive him because he gives it back.
You stole our stuff. Oh, let's give you a hug. Geez, we should be writers.
We should.
The sequel, The Grinch is Back, Part 2.
The Grinch. The Grinch, : Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Wow. That's an interesting thing. Lulling him into a
false sense of security.
Silent Night, Deadly Night? The Santa Claus, right?
Yeah.
It was the... Well, and, like, Santa is a cheerful, good character that also breaks and enters... steals
that's,
cookies.
That's true. Put the Grinch in a different light.
Yeah.
He was doing what Santa basically does every year, and we don't even give it a second thought.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. He just didn't even care. I mean, Santa does bring gifts. Is that so? If you bring an entry fee, it's okay. If you leave an offering under the tree, it's okay. You broke in. Probably got chimney soot all over the floor.
I think so.
Broke bulbs.
So. Somebody broke into my house and left a pizza. I think I'd be a little bit more okay with it.
Yeah, okay. Just okay. They steal a cookie and they bring you a pizza, you'd be fine. And you would eat said pizza left by stranger. Yes, you'd have no questions about that.
I think we've covered this. We had a conversation earlier today, did we not, about whether or not I would finish your sandwich.
I know, but I just think that, I mean, I don't know if I'd trust it. It's like at Halloween time, don't eat the caramel and apples somebody gives you because it might have razor blades in it. That's a bad deal.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
That would be terrible.
That would be the worst.
Yeah, that's a real villain.
That is.
I mean, we're talking about fictional villains right here. That is a real villain. Someone who would put a razor blade in an apple.
You know, I just thought of a villain, and I just don't know if I can... I make any justification for or against it. I don't know. Shredder and Krang from Ninja Turtles. I love the Ninja Turtles.
Well, I think I can make an argument for Shredder being a hero.
Go for it. What about Krang?
Krang is just trying to...
bridge the dimensions.
No, well, Krang's world was, like, destroyed by war, I believe. Or he was, exiled from his dimension. He's just trying to get back.
Yeah, he was exiled, but why? He probably did something terrible.
I think there was some kind of power struggle or something where he was he came from a civilization of like-minded people that were all about war and things like that, and he got enough power to the point where he was instead of actually fighting him, they just exiled him so they wouldn't have to fight him because they knew that he'd win.
Okay.
So I mean, Krang's just trying to get back to his dimension, but Shredder, I think you could make some kind of argument that Splinter, when he was human, you know, took over the hand. The Foot Clan. I'm mixing up.
So
the
was
hand
Shredder?
From...
Yeah. Okay. I don't know the comic books. In the movies, Splinter is a rat that is just turned into a human. So was Splinter? Is that the way it was in the comic books, or was he human?
I'm pretty sure that in the cartoons, Splinter was a man that was mutated into a rat.
Well, I mean in the movies. He was just a rat that was in the sewer and he got into the ooze.
But wasn't he in contact with that human being
beforehand?
I'm pretty sure he
In the movie, it was a rat in the sewer, and he got caught in the ooze and then turned into a Splinter.
Okay, well then the movie's ruined.
Okay, that's why I was asking because I'm not.
The movies are the real villain here. Then
okay, oh, don't you dare smite the Ninja Turtles movies minus Part 3. Don't you dare.
Yes.
Nobody is going to agree that Part 3 has anything.
The Time Lantern.
That is the what? It's what? Awful. What? I mean, just what? What about shows that like? Glorify villains a little bit. Like, okay, I'm gonna give you two examples. One is good and one maybe not. So Ah Real Monsters,
okay,
is in my
never
opinion
watched that. Okay,
yeah, you never watched that?
No.
Yeah, okay. Ah Real Monsters is like a precursor to Monsters Inc. almost.
Okay,
so Ah Real Monsters are just about these monsters that scare kids.
Okay.
And they just scare kids. They have no rhyme or reason. Whereas Monsters, Inc. makes it a corporation, and they have to do that. And I don't know. I can't remember. I haven't seen Monsters, Inc. in a while. But I don't know if there was a reason, like, a positive reason. Like, we need them to stay in bed so they get enough sleep at night. I don't know. Like, I don't know if there's a reason. But that's saying, like, that these just creatures who are scaring children to death. Well, not to death, but petrifying them and scarring them is good because it's their job.
Yeah.
Like, whoa,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, well it powers, I'm a murderer because that's my job.
It powers their economy and their world as well.
But still, it's like if you know, if cracking...
And kidnapping children.
Yeah, well. Kidnapping children is... Okay, let's say kidnapping children... You know, and feeding them to a machine that will power our planet. That's not, you don't do it, you know, like, just because the monsters have an economy doesn't mean that they should, you know.
Well, absolutely not. But, I mean, let's suspend some disbelief here, Josh.
I'm suspending the disbelief that this is a Disney movie marketed to children that has a sequel. Like, I mean, that probably is going to have a third sequel. And I just don't, like,
we can only
how
hope.
Is it good?
We can only hope.
It was a good movie, but why? Isn't it bad? Like, it doesn't...
Is it?
I don't know.
I think that's what we're asking here.
I don't know. Is it okay for the monsters to scare children? Isn't that bad?
Well, in the context of that universe, it's not.
How so?
You have to look at the monsters need those children's screams, and it turns out that they need the children's laughter at the end of the movie.
Okay.
So it kind of turns the whole thing on its ear, and what you're talking about is you're just doing what we've done to villains forever, and that is just look at them on the surface and not look at them as fully formed people.
Yeah, well, but they're doing selfish things. And I'm
doing selfish things, though, or are they doing what's best for their society?
Yeah, I'm just...
Isn't that what a hero does?
I'm just going to use a more extreme example. And this, they're using the screams of children to power their planet. What if it was the blood of children? Okay? That's a more extreme example.
But
you'd
it's
just
not.
Say, absolutely
but
not.
But it's not.
Yeah, but you'd say, no, that's not good. And this one, it's still preying upon fears of children. And even though it's not resulting in death, it could result in, you know, lots of psychologically damaging things. Maybe death in the future, suicidal tendencies, mass shootings. Who knows?
What? How did that movie end again?
I don't remember.
That the laughter of children was like a nuclear power plant.
It's a good thing they learned that.
Yeah.
What if they hadn't?
Well, they did.
But the ends justify the means? Is that?
I think the laughter of children is a beautiful thing. I'm sorry that you disagree.
Yeah, but the ends justify the means. Is that what you think?
I think that they're heroes.
John, of all the villains, you were the villain of pop culture problems. You were a five. Ladies and gentlemen.
I think I'm another person's one.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening to Pop Culture Problems. We'll see you next time.